It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And Kenzie is standing by to take your call at any time here right now. We'd love to hear from you. Let's Talk Legal from Harvell & Collins, the right advice at the right time. And Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins are with us in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Last week we started talking about, you know, just generally what is elder law.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of hit some of the high points with regard to that. Discuss some of the documentation that really is kind of the baseline with regard to making sure we take care of issues mm-hmm. as folks age and issues that our elderly population deals with. Today, I think we're going to expand out a little bit, maybe talk about guardianship some, maybe some about asset protection.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Ben, a good place to focus today, you know, last week was we talked about, you know, a little bit as far as the will goes,
mm-hmm.
power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will, HIPAA authorization, some of these very important documents that, you know, it's vitally important to get these in place, because in the event that, you know, the person, the elderly person has a stroke or has
mm-hmm.
some type of healthcare issue or has a, you know, advancing dementia or something like that, then we may end up in a situation during their lifetime where we desperately need these type of documents, but they don't have the capacity to sign them anymore.
Right, right.
And in many cases, that spins us over into a court proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that before on the program. And essentially what that is a guardianship. If we don't have the documents in order to make decisions for our loved one,
mm-hmm.
to take care of their bills, to take care of whatever issues there are out there, to access their accounts, to help with regard to healthcare decisions, then we have to, in many cases, file a petition for adjudication of incompetence and appointment of a guardian in order to address these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And these issues could be day-to-day things like I just went through, or they could be
right.
things where maybe someone is being taken advantage of through a scheme of some sort. We've had a run, I would say, over the last year, maybe year and a half, 2 years of, you know, some of these fraud schemes where folks are taken advantage of, you know, as a result of the, you know, the Nigerian fraud, the thing,
yeah,
you know, we've
right.
heard about it, the African fraud, you know, send us some money because I've got to get the tariffs or the taxes paid or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is, and then you're going to get $1 million. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, obviously our elderly population in many cases seem to be more obviously susceptible to those type of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, we can kind of go on and on with regard to that, but what I have seen more than any other situation with regard to this would be our female elderly folks being
mm-hmm.
subject to that.
Right.
And in many cases, they've lost their husband. They're by themselves, and there may be an element of loneliness in their life.
Well, I've been there in the house when the spouse has just passed away, and the widow is getting phone calls,
right,
from all kinds. You know, any number of people asking for money, asking
yep.
for donations, or offering some other sort of scheme to protect their house. Any number of things.
Right, and it seems when these folks get on the list,
mm-hmm.
they don't leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we've definitely dealt with many situations where, you know, these individuals are subjected to this type of influence. They're hurt financially, and the family members have needed to intervene in order to get control of that.
Ben, this is a little bit off track, my comment, but you know, we really are in an age of a bit of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just riding here this morning up mm-hmm. early, coming on in to see you, I heard this advertisement about title lock,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean to be talk down another commercial establishment in any way, but you know, you can't perfect a lien on a title to my house or your house or Wes's house without the signature of myself or
right.
you or Wes.
Right.
I mean, that just can't happen. That is really misinformation out there to mm-hmm. think that there's some way to, you know, to lock down, you know, that your title to your home is at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, your title to your home, you know, is not at risk, okay, unless you yourself, mm-hmm. you know, place some sort of lien or mortgage or, you know, encumbrance on the home place.
Mm-hmm.
These things just don't magically appear. And yet evidently, you know, for X number of dollars a month, this company is saying that they can protect the title to your home. Now, I guess what they're saying is that if they find something on public record that has been recorded in some way, shape, or form attached to your property, then they will let you know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, but still, you know, mm-hmm. that's not as accurate as a lawyer would like to see.
I think mainly probably because there is a great perception about identity theft right now,
right?
And so somebody taking advantage of that idea. However,
I very much understand
right.
the identity theft, and of course the programmings that are out there, LifeLock and others mm-hmm. that tend to protect that kind of thing, but title to your property is hard to get to, mm-hmm. okay, without your involvement. It's not effective. So there is a lot of energy out there toward the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
They are vulnerable. We have a side note here is we have had clients even just recently. I have had a client through her son who lives out of town. Up far away, actually, up in northern Pennsylvania, isn't able to get down here, but so often his mother's at Pinal Shores. He's very concerned about this, and we actually have placed her accounts, if you will,
mm-hmm.
into a trust, just a basic management trust
mm-hmm.
With this son involved, as are her bank accounts, so that, you know, that he would be in the loop if there were a $10,000, you know, check
right.
to someone
right.
of that
mm-hmm.
nature. And so there are some precautions that can be put into place when these kinds of circumstances are ripe
mm-hmm.
for abuse toward the elderly.
And that outlines really, that's the kind of mm-hmm. abuse and identity theft, people who may be even close to someone mm-hmm. and they fraudulently use their identity.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, that kind of spins over into, you know, the abuse of the power of attorney and mm-hmm. the breach of fiduciary duty and those type things. But, you know, back to the guardianship, you know, I think that Ben, the very first time, which was many years ago, that I had one of these cases where I had, you know, the elderly person who presents pretty well, but who has been duped out of tens of thousands, if not more, mm-hmm. money due to some type of scheme. You know, the threshold question in my mind as a little bit younger lawyer at that point in time was, is this person really incompetent?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you proceed forward in the guardianship, the threshold question for the court to be determined by the clerk of court is whether this person has the capacity to handle his or her own affairs. And in the event that they do have that capacity to handle their affairs, then there's not an adjudication of incompetence and there's not an appointment of a guardian.
Right.
So, you know, what I've learned over the years with regard to that is that you usually, when you're in one of these close cases, and many of the guardianships we deal with are not close cases, as someone who clearly doesn't have capacity from a mm-hmm. medical perspective. But, you know, you request a multidisciplinary evaluation, which you have the right to do, which is, you know, normally a psychologist of some type who's doing an evaluation. If it's a close case, in many cases it's good to look to maybe someone who's a neuropsychologist as opposed to a clinical psychologist to really get into the details with regard to what is going on with this person. And I've been interested to find out that in many of these cases, these individuals who have been duped by these scams who otherwise function fairly well are suffering from some type of delusional disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned actually a lot about that. You know, you don't learn about delusional disorder as
in
an attorney. You know, I mean, there's not one of our courses, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, and, you know, there's testing that can be done in order to mm-hmm. kind of flesh that out to get to the point where we see, you know, what this issue is. So we have over the years had a lot of success with, I would say, saving folks hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars from these scams mm-hmm. because we've gotten the court involved at a time before the train has gone completely off the track.
Mm-hmm.
And that is thanks in many cases to family members who are paying attention.
Right.
Family members who are involved, who learn about this situation, who inquire about what can be done to stop this situation. So, you know, learning about the delusional disorder and having guardians appointed that gets the court involved, and then it's like magic. Right. Then what happens? The phone stops ringing.
Yeah.
And the people you know, aren't looking for money anymore because they know they can't get it.
We're going to take a break, but just a reminder that if you have a question, you can call us, even if it's not necessarily on the subject that we're talking about right now.
Yes, you can at 252-247-7282.
And we'd love to hear from you here at Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins as we continue on Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station. Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning from Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins with us again.
So, Ben, as we're beginning to say, and we've been all over this morning and the few minutes that we've been here, this elder law can be, you know, the answer to the question, what is elder law? My goodness, we're beginning to see how very broad it is.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, it starts with good documentation, which can help us with some of these fraud scams that are out there that are affecting the elderly. But the overriding substantive area of elder law that our law firm concentrates in, for sure, Ben, is mm-hmm. the area of protecting the assets from any kind of long-term care expenditure. I mean, you know, just yesterday, couple of files, really. I mean, folks come in, they're financially secure. Their home is paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Their income is sufficient. Their savings are what they are. Their IRAs are out there. And life for this couple, you know, in their early 70s, mid-70s, 80s, everything is going according to plan. They mm-hmm. are living, you know, the golden years, okay?
Right.
And yet the question that they lay on the table is, we're doing so well, Mr. Harvell, but what if I or my wife, for some reason, have, you know, a setback medically and long-term, we're required to pay, you know, $7,000 to a nursing facility, a skilled care facility.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very few people can weather that storm. Now, some of our clients have long-term care insurance. They bought it years ago, and they've managed to continue to pay for it. Wes and I certainly we certainly don't dismiss that. That's
mm-hmm.
one of the facts that clients sometimes bring to the table. But an awful lot of people do not have long-term care insurance, and it is a matter of self-pay.
Or they have long-term care insurance that's not going to cover the full bill.
Correct.
Yeah, or
right.
very little of it. Yeah.
Limited.
Right.
Limited in either the daily amount
mm-hmm.
or maybe the duration, only for 1 year or for, you know, 48 months or whatever the policy might say. We look at those policies and analyze them when we're in our planning mode with clients.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of clients do not have long-term care of any nature. And if they don't, we're going to probably talk to that client, and they're going to talk to us sometimes first, even, because they come in with their questions
mm-hmm.
concerning the fact that they want to protect their home place. And they do not want that to get wrapped up or weaned upon, if you will, by some sort of long-term care at the result of a long-term care expenditure of many thousands of dollars a month.
Right.
So elder law absolutely usually will loop around. The conversation will turn to the issues of what do we do to protect our assets mm-hmm. from this kind of expenditure. And the planning that we do, Ben, it's very effective, but it is somewhat like an insurance policy. I mean, the trust that we establish for folks, we establish it while they're of sound mind, mm-hmm. and we do place their home place in the trust. But at that point, you know, it's a wait and see. It's a hope and a prayer, obviously, that Mr. and Mrs. Jones don't go into a nursing home. None of us want to have that kind of
right.
experience
right.
if we can avoid it. But the tool is in the tool chest, I like to say. The mechanism has now been created for the family to implement a plan of protecting assets if for some reason we're confronted with those very unfortunate facts. If we aren't, this trust operates much like a will. It just passes the home place right on out to the children or to whoever the heirs of the estate might be, the niece, the nephew, whatever the case is in that file. The trust parallels the will, usually, almost 99.9% of the time. And so it operates much like a last will and testament, even though the property passes by trusteeship through the trust.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a, Wes and I like to say, this is a standby. This is a hope and a prayer that we don't need this trust.
Right.
But we have it there in the tool chest to take out and implement and use if for some reason we're confronted with these circumstances. So by and large, this is certainly an area of elder law that's going to get talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Many appointments that we have, folks come in with this right at the forefront of their what they want to talk about
right.
with their lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
They are concerned about this and they want to understand it better. And they want to have their children understand it. And
yeah.
many times they will bring their executor child to the appointment or they will ask.
Which you're glad to see.
Which we're very glad to see. Absolutely. And, or they'll say, well, let me talk to my child about this. He lives or she lives. Will you talk to them over the telephone about mm-hmm. this? And again, to respond to your point, we're glad to do that
mm-hmm.
then. The children, by the way, or whoever the heir might be, sometimes it's a niece or a nephew, they're going to be involved in this planning. They're going to need to be because after all, they're going to be the agent ultimately under the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
When those circumstances, if those circumstances do confront, then the agent under the power of attorney is going to be the person who will actually implement the plan.
And if they are involved, there may be one less fire to put out later.
That's correct. You know, Ben, also this kind of crosses over to the guardianship a little bit because mm-hmm. sometimes we meet with folks and maybe their children who are telling us, well, I'm concerned about the long-term care expense and protecting mm-hmm. the home or protecting the lot or protecting the condominium or whatever it may be. But I'm also a little worried about mom or dad being subjected to influence by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do about that, Mr. Harvell, Mr. Collins? What do we do? Well, what about this guardianship? Well, not families don't always necessarily want to pull the guardianship trigger. You don't want to go to that
right.
immediately. But if we're concerned about those type of issues and, you know, what if someone puts a piece of paper in front of dad and he signs it? He might mm-hmm. not know what he's signing. Well, we can kill two birds with one stone in this long-term healthcare planning because placing the real property into an appropriate trust is going to protect it from those expenses. And in the event, for example, we name one of the children, if the client's okay with it, the parent, as one of the trustees, then the property can't be conveyed without that child also signing off on it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in the event, let's say that someone slips a will in front of dad that says, I leave the house to the caregiver
right.
or to my 40-year-old girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
then the will doesn't control the real estate anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The trust controls all of it. So we take that into consideration, and in many cases we're molding that clay in order to address the concerns of mom or dad being subjected to influence and at the same time protecting it from a long-term care stay. Because, hey, on the backside of this, a lot of the litigation cases I deal with are things we learn about after the person died,
mm-hmm.
where documents have gotten changed, wills have been signed, things like this that we think were subject to influence.
And we're back for our final segment here with Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. And again, setting up that understanding that trust and how
right.
that can work is just a valuable tool, such a valuable tool.
You can address so many things. You know, I guess probably the theme of most of this program today mm-hmm. is let's get these issues on the table and
right.
deal with them
mm-hmm.
up front, which is pretty easy, not expensive. Don't put yourself in a position where you're going to potentially lose a lot of what you have,
mm-hmm.
number one. And number two, don't put you or your loved one in a situation where, you know, they may be unnecessarily subjected to some of the influence that's around. And some of these planning techniques, as we just talked about, certainly are the best bang for your buck. I really
mm-hmm.
would say that, because on the back end of things, when we're talking about beneficiary designations getting changed wrongfully, you know, joint accounts being changed wrongfully, questions about that, wills being signed at the last second, deeds being signed at the last second before the person dies, and the litigation involved in all of that kind of stuff, that's a really expensive proposition in almost every case.
Right.
But if you can just be involved in making sure that we get a really rock solid estate plan, in place, dealing with, you know, long-term care expenses and also the potential for being subjected to influence, then you can really head a lot of that stuff off at the pass.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases, a trust is not appropriate, though. I mean, Cecil and I talk about that.
Right.
But
right.
where, you know, the rubber hits the road with regard to that is sitting down with someone who knows what they're doing, talk about all the issues, and then let's put a plan together to, you know, collectively, as opposed to trying to pick up the pieces later on.
Hmm. And we've heard about some folks also getting the card in the mail that invites them with a steak dinner to come and talk about something that's going to be a very expensive trust to put together. It may not be the right one.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to judge on those mm-hmm. situations, but I would say my experience in those is that basically what you're buying there is a boxed document
mm-hmm.
with probably, in most cases, very little legal advice, if any legal advice. And in many cases, these revocable trusts that are you're charged $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 for, you end up signing that, and nothing ever gets put into it. So it's just
sits there.
It's nothing.
Nor is a revocable living trust, which is what these things are sometimes referred to, that is not an asset protection trust.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then,
yeah.
I mean, there are many different types of trust. Trust for handicapped children, trust mm-hmm. for spendthrifts, trust for special needs, trust to protect assets. Okay, so you have to place the client in the trust that fits the facts.
Call for your appointment at 252-726-9050.